Amen. God is good. Amen. Well, this is probably fitting today because as a child, when I was upset at my sisters, I would sometimes give them the silent treatment. Anybody ever do that? When you're growing up, give your brother or sister the silent treatment. Don't you tell me. If you do something I don't like, I'm just not going to talk to you. Now, at first, it's kind of cool because everybody wants your brother and sister just to shut up, right? That's a good thing when they start giving you the silent treatment. You're like, this is cool. Then after a while, it starts to bug you. You talk to them, they don't answer back. And there's a silent treatment that goes on. And finally, you're like looking at them and yelling, talk to me! It's interesting that that's sort of what happened to the kingdom of Israel. There's a 400-year period of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. 400 years where a major prophet did not rise up and speak to the children of Israel. 400 years where they looked for something from God and they received nothing. During that time, a great deal of prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled. In fact, a lot of the apocalyptic literature in Daniel speaks of things that took place and kingdoms that came up. And Israel was conquered by the Greeks and by the Romans, and all sorts of other activities were taking place. And I won't go into the whole history this morning. But they were seeing the revelation of God that was given in the Old Testament played out before them, but God was still silent, or so they thought. Here's a question. Have you ever felt like God was giving you the silent treatment? Like you wanted to hear something from God. You're desperate to hear a word from the Lord. You're desperate for God to speak to you. You're going through a difficulty, and you're saying, Lord, will you just tell me something? And at first, it's kind of nice when God gives you the silent treatment. Let's be honest. That voice that tells us how we should live and what we should do and where we should go and calls us to a greater life of discipline and devotion. Sometimes if we can just step away from that and distract ourselves with some other things for a little while, we kind of enjoy the silent treatment of God for just a little bit if we're honest in our flesh. And then all of a sudden it hits us. God's not speaking to me. What's going on? Why can't I hear from God? Maybe that's not the way it is for you. Perhaps you long to hear His voice, but it seemed like it was distant. Perhaps you dug deeper into His Word during those times, spent more time in worship, but like a parched land, the cracked ground of your soul was so dry that it seemed to wither at the absence of His voice. And suddenly you receive a word from the Lord, and it's so clear. God speaks to you. Perhaps it came as you read the Bible, and the words of God just sort of leaped from the page. Perhaps it came as someone prayed with you, and they prayed words which went deep into your soul with spirit and truth, and that prayer was God's answer to you. Perhaps you were listening to a message and the word seemed to impact you right where you were as you listened. Perhaps it was just in a conversation with a friend and then God spoke through them with words of wisdom and you knew it was His voice and not just theirs. How marvelous it is when the prophetic word of God breaks through the silence. How marvelous it is when the prophetic word of God speaks to us, when we long to hear something from God. And He speaks. Proverbs 25:11 says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. We must know this today, church. Our God is not silent. We serve a God who speaks. We serve a God who speaks to us. And we know that He speaks through the Holy Spirit, inspiring us to bring a message to someone else who might need to hear that message. And when this takes place, when God speaks by His Holy Spirit through the believer, it is often a prophetic word that God is giving in that moment to accomplish His redemptive purposes. You and I long for God to speak to us, but our brothers and sisters in the church today also long to hear God's voice, and sometimes they will hear God's voice through your voice, and sometimes you will hear God's voice through their voice. The world also needs the church and the disciples of Jesus Christ to be a prophetic word to our culture. Do you know that the culture around us, that the world around us is a mess in many instances? Do I get an amen on that one at least? Can we acknowledge that there is brokenness in our world around us? They don't need answers in government and finance and business, in culture and movies and media. They need a prophetic voice to break through the darkness and the silence. Sometimes the greatest silence is the loudest noise. And sometimes the loudest noise is the greatest silence. And God breaks through that with a prophetic voice using His church, using His people, and longs to speak to a world that's broken. It is this redemptive plan which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, which broke through that silence of 400 years as Jesus Christ entered onto the scene. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple, we're told. And there they were met by Simeon, upon whom the Holy Spirit fell, and he prophesied. But I want to really focus on a prophecy by the prophetess named Anna. If I have a few prepubescent cracks in my voice this morning, just go with it if you would, please. I'm 49, not 14. You know, just we'll roll with that. But here's Anna. There it is again. Every time I get excited, there it goes. I'm going to break right through it. So here is Anna. The prophet is there, and Jesus comes in. His parents bring him into the temple. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 36, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. I want you to notice from Anna's voice how we can have a prophetic voice, several things. First of all, number one, she remained faithful to ministering to the Lord. We're told that she was ministering to the Lord, ministering to the Lord. Your prophetic voice to the world, to your neighbor, to your brother, to your sister, to your family, to the brokenness of our culture, your prophetic voice begins in the private place. It begins in that place of worship, that place of devotion, that place that was there of ministering to the Lord. What we did this morning in worship is a portion of that. In spite of the fact that God had seemed silent to his people for 400 years, in spite of her age, she was an older woman, in spite of her being a woman in an area often dominated by men, in spite of her brokenness in life, she was married for 7 years and then lost her husband. And her choice at that point was then to go. We don't know how long she was in the temple serving, but she had gone and just served the Lord and said, I'm going to give myself to him. Her preparation number two was to be in the right spirit and the right attitude. I noticed this. She was in worship, in prayer, in fasting, in service to the Lord, and she was also giving thanks in an attitude of gratitude. Do not expect God to use you to speak to others if you are not thankful for what he's done in your life. I'm going to say that again. Do not expect God to speak through you if you are not thankful for what he's done in your life. Amen. We need to be people of gratitude, people of thanksgiving, people of joy. Third, she speaks a prophetic word to a specific group of people. Her word was that the Messiah had come. She's speaking of the redemptive plan of God. The prophetic word was revealed, and it was revealing God's redemptive plan, and this is what God is doing in us today. But she spoke it to those who were open to receive the word. It said to all who would hear. She didn't just go out and start talking to everybody. She allowed the Holy Spirit to lead her to people who were ready to hear about God's redemptive plan. There is a guidance that happens through the Holy Spirit in the ministry of the prophetic word. And you're saying, whoa, I'm not a prophet. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But when God uses us, when he speaks through us, he will direct us to the people to whom we should speak and give us the right time and the right place to deliver that word. Amen? I hope you get excited about this morning. I know I'm quiet, but on the inside, I'm just screaming. I hope you can feel it. Because I'm excited about what God's going to do in your life, in the lives of those that you touch, when we just all grasp this together. So before we go further, you might be thinking, but I'm not an Isaiah or an Anna. You might be saying, I don't consider myself a prophet, so what's this have to do with me? There are three categories in which the prophetic may be at work. And I want to talk about those three categories this morning. Number one is the office of the prophet. They're all going to start with O. I like alliteration. The first one is the office of the prophet. The Old Testament prophet is what most people think of. The law and the prophets was fulfilled. The prophets spoke the word of the Lord to the nation of Israel. The prophets spoke the promises of the Messiah. Over 30% of the Old Testament is prophetic in nature. The prophets were very active. In fact, in the New Testament, there's also an office of the prophet. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, these are very important verses for us today. It says in Ephesians 4, 11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Number one, just you know what's my soapbox, so I'm going to stand on it for just a moment. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. Dead people don't need equipped. Saints aren't dead people. They're the living in Christ. We are the saints of God. And so for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, God gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. This is not Old Testament, church. This is New Testament. And so this office of the prophet is here in the New Testament for us. These offices or roles emphasize more the nature of the role that one is called to fulfill rather than a position that they hold. The fivefold gifts are evident, usually in those who are in full-time ministry, but often may be exhibited in those who work in other arenas but fulfill a spiritual role. Now, I will tell you that people like we're going to have next week, you don't want to miss next Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, when we have Pastors David and Kathy Thomas here. They operate in the apostolic, the prophetic. God has used them mightily, and we are looking forward to God speaking through them. I would consider them to be prophetic and to be prophets. I would consider Linda Jackson, who is going to be speaking at the ladies' retreat, to be a prophet. There are New Testament prophets that God speaks through them. The interesting thing is sometimes people don't like the prophets because they don't like what they have to say. But the prophet is not beholding to the will of the people, but rather to the voice of God. And so the prophet steps in those moments. Typically in the prophetic realm, especially, one does not go around saying, I'm a prophet. If you have to advertise, then it may not be self-evident. In fact, in all these offices, that calling will be evident by the type of ministry that takes place. They may be used in other gifts, in other places, other roles, but that prophetic will be obvious to all. Secondly is the operation. This is the second category. The operation of the prophetic as a gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lists these gifts. In verse 6, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Here's the great lie of the enemy. He has told you that you personally can't have any of these gifts. How cruel would that be? For kids to get up on Christmas morning, gather around the Christmas tree, and all the kids have gifts except for one in the family, and you look at them and say, you don't get gifts this year. That's what the devil's doing when he starts telling his people that the charismatic gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 are not for today. They are not only for today, they are the answer for today. And so we see prophecy listed among those gifts, ways in which the Spirit-filled believer may be used of God at various times. You may not be a prophet, but you can have a prophetic voice because you may receive a prophecy that the Lord gives you to give someone else. We must become more aware that God wishes to speak to and through his people today. We get lost in the categories. What's it mean to be evangelical or Pentecostal or this or that or Assemblies of God? Here's what it means to me to be Pentecostal. The Holy Spirit speaks to me and the Holy Spirit speaks through me. It is that simple that God is working toward us and through us in the use of his gifts and the use of his Spirit. And God is longing to work through us. And so this is my personal summary, boiled down to its most basic element of what it means to be Pentecostal. That God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, still speaks to his people, and that he operates by that same power of the Spirit to speak through his people today. He speaks to us as individuals and corporately as we worship together. I don't know if you've heard it, but God has already spoken to us multiple times today in this service. We may not have had a prophetic word, but there have been key moments where God has spoken some things to our spirit, to our heart, that we should hear. But God speaks to his people today. He speaks through us as we minister to the body of Christ to build up the body, as we minister to the believer as an individual to meet their need, and as we minister to the broken world to remind them of God's redemptive plan and his love for them by speaking God's word of truth. This will happen in conjunction with other gifts of the Spirit. The operation of the gift of prophecy will happen during a word of knowledge comes, and then you give a prophetic word with it. A word of wisdom can come, discerning of spirits, gifts of healing. All these get worked together. That's a whole other series. We're not going there right now. Just know that this is one of the gifts available to the Spirit-filled believer, and it will be a particular word that is given as a prophecy, a particular word for a particular person delivered at a particular time and a particular place, which means if you do not deliver that word at that time, at that place, to that person, you have failed to bring the word that they needed in that moment. But if you do bring that word at that time and that place to that person, God has just spoken to you in a prophetic way that can be powerful and mighty for his name. And so God wants to use each of us to speak in this way. This is not new. This is not something that just took place as the Azusa Street revival was poured out, as God began to birth it in this century and last century. No, what has happened has been going on through the history of the church. Even Thomas Aquinas said this, in every period there have always been some who have the spirit of prophecy, not to set forth new teaching of the faith, but to give direction to human activities. Let me ask you a question. Do you think human activities need some direction from God? We're living in a day where human activity needs a lot of direction from God. And so God needs his people to be filled with his Spirit, to rise up with a prophetic voice and speak to the body of Christ and to a broken world. Keep in mind the prophetic words are of two types. Number one is foretelling. Foretelling. This is simply speaking forth what is truth about God. I'm going to give more of this tonight. We're going to take our night of worship tonight and take a portion of that. And during that time, I'm going to coach you in allowing God to speak through you prophetically. Now, that may sound weird to you, but don't let it be weird, because understanding this is just foretelling. So when you begin to declare out loud in praise who God is and what he's done, that begins to be the on-ramp to this. When you begin to see with spiritual eyes and declare what God is doing, guess what? You're prophesying. When you begin to declare what God is doing and how he is at work, and you can see and join with the activity of God, and it's affirmed by others that are there, then the Holy Spirit is operating in a prophetic manner. And so we want to allow God to foretell. It may be something that is very clear as we think of the Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets. God was foretelling, rather, of an example in Acts chapter 11. There was a famine that came, and God foretold what was going to happen. So when you get to that point, when you are telling what God is doing and what God is about to do, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a second, I'm not just foretelling, which we'll come to in a moment, but I'm not foretelling. I am now saying what God is about to do. That's a prophetic word. You say, well, I that's not me. No, that's a good point. People that want to be prophets don't make good prophets. Because it can't be us. It has to be him. It's simply obedience and allowing God to flow through you. So foretelling is what we tend to think of in the prophetic. We tend to think of those events that are going to come. In the New Testament, we have not only an example in Acts 11 of the foretelling of a famine, but we also have in Acts 21 a foretelling of Paul's future that took place there. Just two examples. We won't go into them this morning. It may be a revelation of what is to come that God intends to happen. The foretelling may be telling something that God wants to happen. The foretelling may also simply be a revelation of what is coming that God will allow, that God is allowing something to come. And sometimes prophetic words get a bad name because somebody says something and it happens, but it's not a good thing. But we need to be aware that in the Old Testament, the prophets didn't always bring happy, smiley faces. Sometimes they brought attention to some things that were taking place. So that's foretelling. We're really familiar with that from reading the scriptures. But there's another part of prophecy, and that's foretelling, speaking forth the word of God. This is actually the more widely used prophetic voice if you look through it. It's a declaration of spiritual affirmation of God's truth. It's foretelling that was evident in Anna's recognition of God's redemptive plan. And when God uses you in a prophetic word that is foretelling, you're simply speaking forth a word of truth that God puts in your spirit. You are foretelling a prophetic word. And so I'll tell you this morning that if you're used in the gifts of the Spirit, in the word of prophecy, you will be bringing forth the word. It may be foretelling, but more likely it will be forthtelling. You will be declaring something of God's truth. Say, God is good. You just said something about God that is true. Now, it's not prophetic because you said it to me. Once revelation comes, it's no longer revelation. Now it's knowledge. You know it to be true, and you work from your knowledge base. But it's saying something that God's telling you in that moment that is a revelation of how God is at work, and it will always be consistent with the word of God. Prophetic word will never go against the word of God. Here's the third area. This is probably the more common one that we want to look at today. And this is where I think God's going to start with. He wants to start with all of us. I hope he starts with many of us. It is the overflow. So we had the office. We had the operation of the spiritual gift. So we have the office of the prophet, the operation of the spiritual gift of the prophecy that comes, the word of prophecy. And then we have the overflow. The overflow of the prophetic when we love God and boldly declare his word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, if you would, please. It says, pursue love. Say that with me. Pursue love. Yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Who is this written to? To the church, to us. God's saying, pursue love. We all go, amen. We should be more loving. Say amen. Amen. That message gets preached again and again in our churches, and that's wonderful. That's the foundation. Pursue love. And in the same passage, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. Why is it that in that phrase, we don't get as a resounding amen? Because it kind of freaks us out a little bit. We got a picture of prophets. I forget the exact nature of the text. Paula, you can remind me. She was going to the store, said, do you need anything? And I said, I needed some honey. And what else? Milk, milk, and honey. And I said, skip the locusts. We think of a prophet, we think of someone wearing prophet's garb and going out and standing on street corners and preaching. No, the prophetic word, again, is not defined by the Old Testament look of the prophet. It's defined by God speaking to you and through you and delivering a word. So there's this overflow, earnestly desire. I want you to just take a moment of a personal check in your spirit and say, am I earnestly desiring to prophesy? Do I really want God to speak through me to other people? Do I really want to bring something that's more than just knowledge about God, about His Word, something I read, another verse? Do I want to look at them in a moment when they're needing answers and they need to hear from God and look at them, and when the words come out of my mouth, I know they're not my words, they're God's words? Can we earnestly desire to prophesy, not be freaked out about it, not make it something that it isn't, but understand what it is biblically, which is to speak forth the word of God's truth and what He's doing and who He is and how He's at work, and to speak of God's redemptive plan for man. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so the church may receive edifying. The church has a role in the world today. We are to be a prophetic voice to a lost world of God's redemptive plan. You ever wonder why we're here, church? Let me answer it with this simple statement that I just said. We are to be a prophetic voice to a lost world of God's redemptive plan. That's why we're here. Why do we get up in the morning and do what we do in ministry? Because of moments like we saw a couple of moments ago when two people affirmed their faith in Christ with testimony of the great things that God has done. When we see people simply respond to God's invitation to come and know me. When we gather together and worship and feel God's Spirit, we are the prophetic voice to a broken world today. We also spoke last week of the love of God. We read from 1 Corinthians 13 concerning what that love looks like. But 1 Corinthians 14 is a continuation of that thought. And that's what we've just read here, 1 Corinthians 14. The love of God is most visible when God's people prophetically proclaim His word for a lost world today. So we have to be bold in our speech, quick to obey the Lord when He calls us to speak. But notice that verse 1 gives us two clear sources from which this prophetic fountain flows. Two sources from which the fountain flows. Number one, pursue love. Pursue the love of God. Love Him more every day. Love others more every day. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commands, Jesus said. Love. Pursue love. But secondly, desire spiritual gifts, especially to prophesy. My prayer today is not to feed you. My prayer today is to make you hungry. I want you to leave hungry, not full. I want you to leave more earnestly desiring to know more about what it is to be used of God, to prophetically speak to a broken world, and to one another. The overflow of our love for God and the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives will be a release of the overflow of a prophetic word that alters the atmosphere. Now, I'm going to take something out of the negative, and I'm going to flip it around. Think of the opposite effect of this. Look at the problems that are right now being created by the release of excess water from Lake Okeechobee into the Gulf. Can everybody just groan? One, two, three. Ugh. How many have seen the news reports? You've seen pictures, the brown water, the red tide, the dead fish. Why? There's an overflow, 70,000 gallons a day or something like that, I think it is. It's pumping out. It's overflowing out of this lake. It changes the color of the water. It changes the composition of the water. It is visible from a distance. They've even seen this from space. And whatever it touches is affected. Now, if that's a negative illustration, I want you to turn that around. Oh, that God would fill us up so much with His love and His Spirit that we would say, no more, God, or the levee will break. Don't give me any more. I'm going to overflow the banks. Lord, I'm so full of You, full of Your love, full of Your Spirit, full of Your power. This dam is about to burst, and the banks will overflow. And then suddenly it does, and the love and the power and the Spirit and the Word of God begin to overflow from our lives and reach into the lives of others. It flows down the river. It flows into the sea. It touches every person on the banks. And in a great greater way and in a positive way. God says, let it break forth, let it burst out, let it overflow to the brokenness of humanity. Instead of discoloration, there will be clarity from the Spirit of God. Instead of death, there will be life that God Himself brings. Instead of people running away, there will be people longing to jump into this river, which flows with the power and the love and the glory of God. And that river will flow through you, and it will flow through me when we are so filled to overflowing with the love and the power of God. And so, church, I would say today, prophesy. Prophesy. Prophesy in your praise as you bring forth and you burst forth with the glory of God. Prophesy in your ministry as you pray over others and declare the love and the power of God. And I'm going to pause there and tell you something that the Lord spoke to me as we were around our prayer circle this morning before service around the piano. We were standing there quietly, we were in prayer, and God very clearly spoke to me the fact that when you pray silently, you only edify yourself. When you begin to pray out loud, you begin to edify one another. When you begin to pray out loud, you give opportunity for those around you to agree together. And where two or three agree together in His name, there He does also. You see, we are too silent today. And it's time for us to recognize that God uses the mouth to prophesy. It seems kind of an obvious thing, I know. But think about how silent we have become in our worship. How silent we have become in our witness. How silent we have become in the sharing together of God's word. Church, I want to tell you, when we get together as the family of God, yes, we should introduce the conversations by talking about sports and football and the weather and all these things. But somewhere, can we prophesy to one another? Can we begin to share about what God is doing? Can we talk about the truth of God and the power of God and pray with one another? And suddenly, as you're praying, here's what's going to happen. You're praying your words, and all of a sudden something changes, and you begin to speak with an unction that comes from your spirit, and you know the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. How many have ever felt that? You've ever been praying and suddenly it's not you, it's God, and you know it. You're prophesying. Wake up, the sleeping giant. The ability for a church to rise up and prophesy to a broken world. I believe God is birthing that. I'm looking forward to how He's going to bring that to life in our spiritual emphasis week next week. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in your life and mine. I'd like the worship team to come if they would, please. Prophesy in your ministry as you pray over others and declare the love and power of God. Prophesy in your conversations with others, with believers as you rejoice in the goodness of our God. With the lost as you declare the goodness and the glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ. You see, when you're talking with somebody and all of a sudden you know your words aren't your words, but they're somebody else's words, they're God's words. Anybody ever have that happen? I'm not talking praying for someone, just a conversation. And all of a sudden you're saying things, going, wait a second, where's that coming from? Anybody ever have that? Raise your hand if that's you. Guess what? You prophesied. You spoke truth of God, of His redemptive plan to someone else. This is not so strange as we might think. You see, we think of prophecy in the church today, we expect someone to stand up in the middle of worship service and yell out a prophetic word. And that does happen. But prophecy is very natural. Very simple when we're simply responding to the Lord and to what He's saying and the working of His gifts. And so this morning we need to be encouraged. And I just, give me a second to read this if you would. Vanessa, where does it come from? Something you wrote? Go ahead.
During the message and just during worship, when you begin to speak about the silence that we succumb to when we're in worship, just today's service, the baptism is an example of something public, something corporate, something for everybody. When you're water baptized and you begin to publicly declare your love for Jesus Christ and your faith in Jesus Christ, that's when we edify the body, and that's a perfect example of what's going on. And I got this word, and I'm not used to doing this, so. But he said, be encouraged by the promises of God, and be filled with His spirit of joy. The depression that plagues your mind can can be lifted should you simply speak. Should you begin to seek out and cry out and call out, you will be redeemed. There's a rest to be found in his presence, a peace beyond anything you could imagine. Should you be willing to step into it, it takes your will to align with his will in order to be filled with his Holy Spirit. You have to move. You need to move. And not only to move, but to speak, to shout, and to rejoice in what he has in store for you. There is rest. There is peace. There is a life available to you that is filled with joy and free of stress, free of anxiety, free of worry, free of depression. But you have to move.
That word's for you today. I want you to just simply receive it. Know that God's speaking. Vanessa said, what'd you say? I'm not used to doing this or something like that. Well, the other piece that God, I nearly jumped out of my chair when God gave me this illustration of Lake O and the overflow and the discoloration of the mess, the death and the damage, and how he is the complete opposite of that. And his river flows and brings clarity, brings life, and brings hope. And that's not just one of us or two of us. That's molecule after molecule of water of God's word and his message flowing through each of us and allowing him to just change this whole area with his presence, his power. One of the things that God spoke to me very clearly is to teach my people to be a prophetic voice. Sometimes the teaching comes by saying, okay, you brought me a word, jump in, go for it. There you go. Sometimes the teaching comes in moments like this when you simply say, where's the hunger? Do we long to be a God's prophetic voice? I'm going to take some more time tonight and teach you how to be a prophetic voice. And I want you just right now to simply bow your head and close your eyes. Stand if you would. Please. And if you want to be a part of the dam breaking, the waters flooding the brokenness of humanity, of the cloudy becoming clear and the dead becoming full of life, and the broken being healed and the hurting given hope and the lost being saved by his power. If you want to be a part of bringing like apples of gold and settings of silver, a due word in good season, if you want to be that voice in the life of your brother or sister in the Lord, if you want to be that voice in the life of your family, if you want to be that voice in the life of your coworker or classmate, if you want to be that voice in the life of your neighbor, if you say, God, I am willing to learn how to be a prophetic voice to a broken world, to speak forth God's redemptive plan, would you just simply open up your hands and your heart? This is a representation. It's a symbol. And just lift your hands and say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your love. Fill me with more of you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't plan this, but we're going to E minor this morning. And I just want you to sing the song with me. Some voices that actually work will jump in here and help me out, but make this your prayer. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Say it again, sing it again. More love.
More power.
worship Him out loud. Worship Him and praise Him. We bless Your name, O Lord. We magnify Your name. Bless Your name, O Lord. Glory to Your name, my God and name. Lord, there is a river that You want to open up. There is a floodgate that You want to open up. There is a prophetic word that You want to release over this community. Father, right now I pray that we would be the church that would say, we're going to cry out to You, Lord, and we're going to love You more than we've ever loved You in our lives. We're going to long for the infilling of Your Holy Spirit, because we can't do this with our own human power. It's not a human work. It's a divine work. It's the power of the Spirit of God flowing through us. And right now, Lord, we pray that You would fill us afresh and anew with Your Spirit. And Father, I thank You and I praise You that today that You are a God who answers these prayers that we pray, that You are a God who hears the cry of Your people. And Lord, as we cry out to You in our time of need, may we then cry out to others in the proclamation of the answer to their need, which is that Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ is power. Jesus Christ is truth. And Lord, that You are love. Father, I pray that we would be a prophetic voice. Oh, there's an obvious question. Well, how do we do that? What do I do next? How do I go from here? What do I say? Lord, I don't want us to answer those questions right now. I want us to bring those questions to You. I want us to leave hungry. I want us to leave searching. I want us to leave ready to look into Your Word and begin to truly look at the New Testament role of the prophetic Word and say, Lord, help us as a church be the people of God that don't just come to hear a prophet speak. Don't just come because somebody has a prophetic gift and maybe they can tell me something about my life. No, we long for more. We long to be the prophetic voice in our circle of influence. We long to be the brother or sister who ministers by Your Spirit. We long to be that one that goes to the lost and speaks life. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that just like there is a dam that has opened up by Lake Okeechobee, may there be a dam that is opened up now in heaven. May there be a river that flows with life, with Your Word, with Your power, with Your grace, with Your mercy. But Lord, with Your anointing, to let the Word of God speak. And Lord, as we do, we go out with joy, knowing that You not only speak to us, but You speak through us. And that is the desire of our heart, to be used in You. We thank You, Lord, and we praise You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give God praise one more time, if you would, church.